Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You know, I want to talk to you today. I encourage you to get your Bible out, something to take notes on, and remove all distractions at home, because God needs the next 25 minutes of our life totally devoted unto Him. With all the distractions all week long, surely we can give Him 25 minutes to get a right now word that for some people is death or life. Amen. So up on the board, it's beyond the grave. That's what I want to talk to you about this weekend. Beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. And I'd like for you to open your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 5. But before we get into it, what awaits us in the afterlife? You know, again, three questions that we all ask is, why am I here? And who am I really? And where will I go when I die? What awaits us in the afterlife is a big question. We do not have to dread death or be afraid of the afterlife if our trust is in Jesus Christ. We don't have to dread death or fear the future or the afterlife if our trust is in Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry what follows death. Is there an afterlife? What happens in the afterlife? Where will I spend eternity in the afterlife? We're gonna delve into those questions and answer them today, but I got a great quote from C.S. Lewis, and I want to give it to you. A continual looking forward, this is C.S. Lewis, a continual looking forward to the eternal world. A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not wishful thinking, but it's the one thing a Christian is meant to do. I like that. A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not just wishful thinking, but it's the one thing a Christian is meant to do, C.S. Lewis. So if you'll let me, I want to take you to the Word of God, and we're going to go line upon line, and then I'll give you some takeaways. Is that okay? What about heaven, and what about the afterlife? And we're not really going to delve into hell today, because somebody said, when you feel like hell, don't preach it. Well, I don't feel like hell today, but some of us may feel like we're in hell, and if you feel like you're in hell, don't stay there. Keep moving. Amen? So I want to talk basically about heaven. I want to talk about the afterlife for those who have put their trust in Christ. I want to give you hope. The Bible says those who know where they're going to spend the afterlife with Christ for eternity, it gives them a hope. It gives them a blessed hope, an eternal hope, a living hope. So let's just delve right into it, and let's get right into the teaching today, beyond the grave. John 5, 24 and 25, 26. This is the Message translation. And listen very carefully. Watch the words. This is Jesus. It's urgent that you listen carefully. I guess I just said that, right? It's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Notice the word urgent. What I want today from this teaching is I want to increase our sense of urgency. I want to increase. When you talk about the afterlife, it should increase our sense of urgency. It should motivate us not to waste our life, but to invest our life. Corrie ten Boom said, it's not the duration of our life, it's the donation of our life. Corrie ten Boom, it's not the duration of our life, but it's the donation of our life. And so Jesus said, it's urgent that you listen to Pastor Blunt on Sunday morning at Church on the Rock today. Anyone here who believes what I am saying right now and aligns yourself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge. Have you put Jesus in charge of your life? You know, I did a teaching the other day, I think it was Wednesday night, seven things to do every day to stay spiritually strong. It was Wednesday night's message, midweek service online. Seven things to do daily to stay spiritually strong. And I talked about my morning routine, and I did it this morning. My morning routine, every morning, you know, I get up and I get the coffee going, get the breakfast going, and I've taken my shower, I'm listening to the word, and I've made my confessions before I ever got out of bed. But then after I do all that, while the breakfast is cooking for Kim and me and my dog, Princess Anna, I'll go out and get her in the garage so she can go potty. But every morning I say, Anna, Jesus is Lord. Pastor, you talk to your dog? Yeah. I say, Anna, Jesus is Lord. Every morning, if I'm lying, I'm frying. Every morning I let our dog know Jesus is in charge of the Blunt family today. I don't want to be in charge, God. I want you to be in charge. If I've made Jesus in charge of my life, I don't have to dread death, fear the future, or wonder, well, I'll spend eternity in the afterlife. So he says, if you have put Jesus in charge, wow, has at this very moment the real lasting life. You can know now where you're going to spend eternity. You don't have to wait or wonder after you die. Now, you may take that as, well, that's a no-brainer. No, it's not. I've done a lot of funerals in 40 years of ministry, and I've talked to a lot of people during funerals, and they say, well, you really don't know where you're going to go until you die. My brother and sister, don't live like that. We can know this very moment. Once we put our trust in Christ, once we make Jesus in charge of our life, our marriage, our money, our material things, our career, our job, our business, our family, then we can live in peace knowing where we're going in the afterlife. But you put me in charge, so at this very moment, real lasting life, the real thing, right? Like Coke, not cocaine. Now, none of you know what that's like. Lasting life is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step. If y'all haven't taken that step, take that giant step today. That giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. The Bible says if I'm a non-believer, my spirit is dead. If I'm a believer, my spirit is alive. That's what happens when we put Jesus in charge and we put our trust in him. The Bible says we're translated from death unto life. Right? Somebody said, I like it this way. I like it this way. This is so huge. If you've been born once, you're going to die twice. But if you've been born twice, you're only going to die once. I sure do love y'all. You guys are awesome today. If you're born what? If you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. What is that? If you're born again, wow, then your body is going to die if the Lord would tarry, but it's just going to fall off. You have eternal life, and you're going to get a new body anyway, right? So I love that. Take that giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. Next verse, guys, can you help me out? It's urgent that you get this right. Jesus keeps talking about urgency. You know, that's why we're doing, that's why I'm so thankful. I want to give you a great big hug, but I know social distancing. But that's why I'm so thankful for right now, more than ever, we need to tithe and give offerings to win souls. To do outreaches like you heard and saw the outreaches that we're doing. Many you don't even know about. Missionaries that we're helping overseas. Many of you don't even know about. Our community of things that we're doing. Many of you, we don't have the time to tell you. The new outreach of the VR church, that's huge. That's cutting edge. That's pioneering. That's where the world is going. It couldn't happen, but I think you're kind of like me. There's a sense of urgency. I gotta win souls. We got to reach the unreached. We got to tell the untold. Amen. We got to, the church should be evangelizing and discipling like never before. There needs to be a sense of urgency. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived. I mean right now. When dead men and women will hear the voice of the Son of God and hearing, they will come alive. Next verse. Just as the Father has life in himself, he has conferred on the Son life in himself. Next verse, guys. And he's given him the authority, the Father gave the Son, Jesus, the authority, simply because he's the Son of Man, to decide and carry out, look at this, matters of judgment. Judgment day is coming. You may wonder, why do the evil prosper? Well, my brother and sister, let's don't focus on their prospering right now in this season. Because somebody said, for a sinner, this is the only heaven they'll ever know. But for a saint, this is the only hell that we'll ever know. Judgment day is coming. God is just, God is fair, and God keeps account. Next verse, verse 28. Don't act so surprised at all of this. The time is coming when everybody dead and buried will hear his voice. Next, guys, let's go on to the next page. Verse 29. Those who have lived the right way, hello, not perfect, but the right way. Those who have lived the right way will walk out into resurrection life. But those who have lived the wrong way into a resurrection of judgment. There is an afterlife. There is a resurrection. There is judgment. It is coming. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. And if I live right, then I'm going to be resurrected in life eternal with God. If I live wrong, then there'll be eternal judgment, resurrection of the dead for eternal judgment. So the unjust judgment, the just resurrection life. Let's go on. Next page, guys. Those that think about death and the afterlife, this is huge. You might want to write this down. Those who think about death and the afterlife live seven or eight things. Here's the benefit. Remember C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said, it's not wishful thinking. It's not fantasy. There is an afterlife. Life doesn't end at death. Life doesn't end at the funeral. Life doesn't end at the grave. There's beyond the grave. And those that think about death and the afterlife live, number one, longer. This is all scientifically proven. Those who that think on death and the afterlife, and they have an eternal mindset, an eternal perspective, they live longer. Number two, they live happier. They live happier. When you know where you're going when you die, when you know that you have peace and you don't have to fear or dread death, when you know that you are prepared for eternal life, not eternal death. It's eternal life or eternal death. It's heaven or hell. And notice people who think about afterlife and they're prepared for the afterlife and they're living right, serving the Lord. Not perfect, but they're living right and they're serving the Lord. They live longer. And number two, they live happier. Number three, they have less stress. Wow. They have less stress. Think about this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, sets your affection on things that are above. Doesn't it say that? Set your affection. That's my word for this year, focus. Set your affection, direct your affection on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. Oh, that's huge. So I know that my focus is wrong if there's stress taking over my life. If stress is taking over my life, then I have a wandering mind and not a fixed mind. If stress and torment and panic and worry, anxiety is taking over my life, over my behavior, over my relationships, it's overflowing into my family, it's ruining and wrecking relationships, then I've gone from a fixed mindset, setting my mind on things above, to a wandering mindset. We can't let our mind wander in 2021. So those who think about the afterlife and they realize there's life beyond the grave, resurrection of the dead or resurrection of those who are alive. And what happens? We live longer. Number two, we're happier. And number three, there's less stress. Number four, healthier. Wow. You and I both know when we think right, everything else falls into place, right? Number five, greater contribution. When I realize there's an afterlife, when I realize that what I do in this life determines my rewards in that life, then I'm going to serve more. I'm going to serve one, worship one. I'm not going to wait till the COVID is over to get involved in my church, my community. I realize I'm storing up treasure in heaven. If I really believe there's life beyond the grave, this is only a practice run. This is only a preparation for the next life, the next world. Then bless God, I'm going to want to do as much as I can for God. And it's, remember Corrie ten Boom, it's not the duration, it's the donation. Greater contribution. Number six, more fulfilled. I'm hustling because I got so much I want to share with you today. More fulfilled. People who know there's life beyond the grave. People know there's an afterlife and they're prepared for it and they're working towards it. And it's creating an urgency. It's creating, I got to make today count. See, I'm teaching you like right now. I hope you feel the passion like it could be my last time. That's how you need to see it. That this could be your very last service, very last gathering. This might be it. In 37 years, we've had it happen where people have been on a Sunday morning and then I hear they died on Sunday afternoon. It's happened time after time after time. And so we got to live every day, make it count, live with urgency. Number seven, on purpose. People who think about the afterlife and prepared for the afterlife and beyond the grave and have an eternal perspective, they live their life on purpose. Next, guys, number eight, this is all proven. You can check this out. Psychologists will tell you this. They forgive quicker. They forgive quicker. Whoa. Boy, I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my bones. Some of you say, what is you feeling? I feel him all over me. Y'all remember that song? I forgive quicker. People who have and realize beyond the grave there's an afterlife. Whoa. They get the big picture. They forgive quicker. Next, guys, just help me out today. Acts 17:26. Here's some scripture, more scripture to base and all the remarks I made to be founded upon. And he made God from one common origin, one source, one blood. Y'all know we have one blood, right? All right. Of all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth. Where you and I have settled is not a mistake. Where we are living is divine destiny. On the face of the earth, having definitely determined, God determined the allotted periods of time that you would live and the fixed boundaries of where you live. Their settlements, their lands, their abodes, your county, your city, your subdivision, your address. Whoa. Verse 27. So that they should seek God in hope that they might feel after him and find God. What should we be doing in 2021? Seeking God. Like y'all are doing today. I'm so proud of you as your pastor. Feel after him and find him, although he's not far from each one of us. Next verse, guys. For in him we live, move, have our being, even as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Next verse, guys. 29. Since then we are God's offspring, we ought not to suppose the deity, the Godhead, is like gold or silver or stone of the nature by human art or imagination or anything constructed or invented by a man, an idol, a statue, a picture. Next verse. Such former ages of ignorance of God, such former ages, generations of ignorance of God, it is true, they ignored and allowed to pass unnoticed. But now, everybody say now, But now he all people everywhere to repent. What does that mean? To change your mind. For better, wow, it's much better, isn't it? Isn't it? Those of you who took that giant step, those of us who put God in charge, those of us who declare Jesus is Lord over our house, it's much better. Oh, it's much better. For better and hardly to amend their ways with abhorrence of their past sins. Oh, I like that. Next verse, next page, next verse. Because he has a fixed day. Remember, all that I've been reading is you're here by design, by God's decision. You have a destiny. You're not a mistake, that you are an original, so don't die a copy. Yeah. Because he has a fixed day, God has a fixed day, he will judge the world righteously, justly, by a man whom he has destined and appointed for that task. And he has made this credible and given conviction and assurance and evidence to everyone by raising him, who would that be? Jesus, from the dead. God has a fixed day of judgment. Next page, guys. Number one, you are an eternal being. It doesn't end in the grave. You are an eternal being. God made you that way, eternal, to live eternally. Now, originally, he made us to live with him eternally, right? Eternal life. But if I live wrong and I don't trust God, and I don't put my faith in God, then I'm living wrong, so it will be eternal, not life, but death and separation from God. You are an eternal being. That's a good statement founded on the word. Number two, death is not the end of life. And let me say, you don't come back as a dog or a hamster or a cat. No way. Death is not the end of life, but there's an afterlife. Number three, where I spend eternity depends on if I have a relationship with God or not. Where I spend eternity depends on if I have a relationship with God or not. Number four, there is a final judgment. All these statements are based on the scripture we've studied so far. There is a final judgment. Next, Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven, and he was holding the key of the abyss. Look with me, Revelation 20, verse 1. Y'all still with me? Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the keys of the bottomless pit, and there was a great chain was in his hand. Next verse. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent. Who would that be? The devil, Satan. And he bound him for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. Next verse. Then he hurled him into the bottomless pit, and he closed it and sealed it above him, so that he should no longer lead astray. What is the devil's job? To lead people astray and deceive them and seduce the nations. This is called the millennium. The 1,000-year reign until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated or set free for a short time. Next verse. Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those who had authority to act as judges, and to pass sentence was entrusted. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been slain with axes for beheaded. I want you to see something that you know, people sometimes wonder, does heaven know what's going on earth? According to this verse, it does. According to this verse, it does. So from heaven, they're looking on what has happened on earth, those who have been beheaded during the Great Tribulation. Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were authority to act as judges, to pass sentence and entrusted. Also, I saw those souls of those who had been slain with axes beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the word of God. When I say there's a revival of the Bible, there's spiritual warfare over that. They were beheaded because they had put their trust and faith in the word of God. And they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend in Jesus' name. But I'm bringing this out because I want you to know, and there's an afterlife, and I want you to understand that heaven does sometimes know. I think God lets them know what's happening here on earth. Can I give you another reference? The Bible says that when one person on earth comes to Christ, angels in heaven rejoice. So heaven does know a little bit of what's going on the planet. Those who've gone before us have a little inkling. They get some little video. They get some little windows to know what's happening down here while they're up there. Next verse, verse 5. And who had refused to pay homage to the beast or his statue and had not accepted his, here's the mark of the beast that people make fun of, accepted his mark or permitted to be stamped on their forehead or their hands, called the mark of the beast. And they lived again and ruled with Christ, the Messiah, 1,000 years. They refused to pay homage to the beast, the statue. They refused to take the stamp on their hand or their forehead. So they ruled with Christ, the Messiah, for 1,000 years. He's talking about during the tribulation. They go right on into the millennium. Next verse, verse 5. The remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. This is what we call the first resurrection. The first resurrection. I hope I'm not making it confusing. By the end of the afternoon, when we get down about 3 o'clock, I'll make it real clear to you. Next verse, verse 6, we'll bring it all together. Blessed, happy, to be envied, holy, spiritually whole, of unimpaired innocence, improved virtue, is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death events the power of authority. Remember I said, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. You know, born naturally, born again. If you're just born naturally and never get born again, then it's the second death. Power of authority. But they shall be ministers of God, of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. What are we going to be doing in heaven? Well, we're not going to be on a cloud with a harp and just sleeping. Well, now, maybe to some people that's heaven, just sleeping, but not to most of us. Amen. We're going to be ministering. We're going to be serving the Lord. We're going to be doing a work. We're going to be ruling and reigning. Oh, it's going to be exciting. Next, let's go to the next page, guys. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan is released from the pit, from his place of confinement. Next, guys. Verse 8, and he'll go forth to deceive. What's the devil doing today? Deceiving, seducing, leading astray the nations, which are the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to muster them for war. Their number is like the sand of the sea. Next, guys. And they swarmed upon the broad plain of the earth and the fortress camp of God's people, the saints, and his beloved city. But the fire descended from heaven and consumed them. Next verse. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone. Now to the lake of fire. He was in the bottomless pit. He's released for the 1,000-year reign. But now, after this, he's thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, burning brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, that's the Antichrist, were, and they'll be tormented day and night forever. See, it doesn't end at the grave. It doesn't end when we die. It's either eternal judgment or eternal life. We will spend eternity in the hereafter, one place or the other. And they will be tormented day and night. How long? Forever and ever. It never stops. Next, guys. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence or from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. Next verse, I'm hustling. I saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and the books, notice there's more than one, were opened, and another book was opened, called the Book of Life and the Book of Works. The Book of Life and the Book of Works. And the Book of Life, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done their whole life, way of feeling and acting, their aims and their endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. Next, guys. 13. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it, and death and hell, the state of death or disembodied existence. Notice there is existence after the grave. surrendered the dead in them, and they were all tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. Next, guys. The death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were then thrown into the lake of fire with the devil. This is what we call the what? Second death, the lake of fire. Those who have been born twice will only die once. You and I will not experience the second death because we've been born twice. But those who have only been born once will experience the second death, which is to be cast eventually into the lake of the fire with the devil, the Antichrist, demons, fallen angels, and all the above. It wasn't created at the beginning for man. It was created for the devil and his angels, demons. All right? So the second death, the lake of fire. Next, guys, can you all take just a little more? And if anybody's name was not found recorded in the book of life, oh my goodness. This is not the book of works. This is the book of life. If my name isn't found in the book of life, then I'm hurled into the lake of fire. Life after death, beyond the grave, the hereafter. Next, guys. Takeaways, real quick, as the team comes out. Takeaways, let's go through it. Guys, first, number one, it should motivate me not to waste my life. And knowing that there's a hereafter, there's beyond the grave, it's eternal life or eternal death. It should motivate me not to waste my life. Number two, it should cause me to live with urgency. Noting there's a hereafter, that it doesn't end at the grave. It should cause me to live with urgency. Number three, I should want to share my story because I don't want anybody to go to the lake of fire. I don't want anybody to experience the second death. I should want to share my story and the gospel. That's what we're doing here at Church on the Rock. Amen, everybody? To as many people as we can. Number four, it should want to store, cause me to want to store up treasure in heaven. Now, that's the book of works, storing up treasure in heaven. But my name, I want my name, I want your name in the book of life, and I want it in the book of works. Because if it's only in the book of works and not in the book of life, then I'm going to experience a second death in the hereafter beyond the grave. But you and I, if we put Jesus in charge and we made him Lord over our life, we don't have to fear death or the hereafter. We can live with confidence and peace on purpose, with joy, with hope, with enthusiasm. We'll live longer, we'll be healthier, we'll be happier. Amen, everybody. Number five, it should destroy dread and fear out of our life. It should destroy dread and fear out of our life. Number six. Pastor, you're going way too fast. Okay, that was it, I guess. That's number five. Can we go back to number one, guys? Can you go back to that for everybody? Look at that. Should motivate us not to waste our life. Number two, should live with urgency. Number three, should want to share my story. Look for opportunities to share the gospel with as many people as we can. Number four, should want to store up treasure in heaven. I should want to serve more. I should want to do more for God because what I do in this life will determine what I'm going to do in the next life. Number five, should destroy dread and fear out of my life.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.